you'd like to just turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 17, because there is something that actually is mentioned here in Revelation 17 that we need to be aware of, and yet it's not really clear at this present juncture. And here in Revelation 17, if you notice over in verse 9, it says, "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains," or seven governments, in other words, "on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space." Now, those are talking about the Holy Roman Empire. Seven kings, five are fallen with Napoleon, and one is, that was the Hitler-Mussolini pact, and then one is yet to come. And that was the time in which this was revealed to Mr. Armstrong, about 1935, I believe it was, where he could actually witness what was going on and be able to apply that verse directly. And it says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into position." He's the eighth Babylonian system. He's of the seven that went before him, in other words, and he goes into position. In other words, eventually he's going to be wiped out. "And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now I want you to notice that what it says, they receive power with the beast. 1 hour with the beast. So with a very, very short period of time. But there are ten kings, ten power blocks. We can certainly say the power blocks, because it talks about the power that they're there. And it says, "And these have one mind, and they shall give their power and their strength unto the beast." So the power that they have is going to be given to the beast, this individual that will be ruling at that end time, this Assyrian. And these, it says, shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So we see that this system is right before the end. And there are going to be ten kings, ten power blocks in Europe, in the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, that will exist right at the very end time, just at the point when Christ is about to return, and actually as Christ returns, they will make war with him. Now the question really is when we look at Europe today, we look at 27 different countries. There are not 10. Now, if you go back a few years, you find with six founder members, and then Denmark, Ireland, and the United Kingdom joined in 1973. That made it up to nine. And then Greece became the 10th in 1981. And, for several years, for about 5 years, it was 10 nations. But then we had Spain and Portugal 5 years later. And then you had another more being added, certainly in the into the 1990s. You're up to the figure of 27 now, and there's another 11, is it, that are waiting in the wings, waiting to join. So you can't see these 10 power blocks. They're not immediately visible. But certain things have taken place this last week, which in this news update I'd like to just bring to your attention, and particularly in the last few days, that I think might give a hint as to what could possibly allow what we see in Europe currently to morph into these 10 kingdoms. Here's an article from the paper, and they're all taken from the Telegraph, and literally in the last 2 days. From the paper in Friday, that's yesterday, it says, "Yet another twist to the Greek farce keeps the leaders on the edge of the seat." And it says, "Do we want to adopt the new agreement, or do we want to reject it?" With those words, George Papandreou, the Prime Minister of Greece, threw the European Union into its greatest crisis and took the global economy another step closer to the abyss. So the fact that he took it down to the Parliament and he actually said, "Do we want the agreement or don't we?" He said, "Addressing the Greek Parliament on Monday night, Mr. Papandreou declared that he could not implement the deal to rescue the Greek economy agreed in Brussels last week." In other words, he couldn't implement it. It says, "Only the Greek people could do that," he said. "A referendum would therefore be held." Now, it sounds reasonable, because here he is. He's been elected to be the Prime Minister of Greece and the President of Greece. And he therefore says, look, we need a referendum of something with such consequences that are within the agreement. In that same paper, in the actual column or comment by the Telegraph themselves, it says, "A show of brute force in the new Europe." It says, "It should surprise no one that George Papandreou's proposal for a national referendum on the latest European bailout deal should have lasted just 72 hours before being bulldozed into oblivion by the Germans and the French. Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy made not the slightest attempt to observe any diplomatic niceties as they turned their fire on this troublesome outbreak of democracy. And this also should tell us something, because when we see the scriptures within, well, the scriptures regarding this 10-nation European bloc, it's certainly not going to be democratic. It says the Greek referendum must not be allowed to happen, they insisted, and lo, it will not. It was brutal to watch. Welcome to the new Europe. It's now generally accepted that the move towards fiscal as well as monetary union is the only feasible way in which the single currency can be made to work. Yet it will mean such bullying becomes the norm, since national sovereignty will routinely have to play second fiddle to the diktats, not only of the European Central Bank, but also of a Central European Treasury, whose creation can now only be a matter of time. Both will, of course, be dominated by the monetary union's preeminent economy, Germany. So we're seeing a new Europe emerge, and everybody that's looking at this new Europe, or looking at the situation at this present time, can see this new Europe emerging. The interesting thing is that in the paper, I think this is today's, yes, it's today's paper, there's a comment by Charles Moore that talks about the journey towards ever closer union has screeched to a halt. Well, in fact, I disagree with that. It's not a case of the journey towards ever closer union has screeched to a halt, but there are certain things that he says in this article, which I thought were very, very interesting, as to how Europe was set up right from the very beginning. He says the phrase, quote, ever closer union, unquote, in the original Treaty of Rome was not, as British politicians so often claimed, a mere piece of windy continental rhetoric. In other words, Britain looked at this and said, you know, ever closer union. Well, I mean, they would say something like that. It's just rhetoric. It's rhetoric in the agreement. It says it expressed the whole purpose. It meant that all new treaties must tend towards integration. It meant that the powers which the European Union has gathered to itself could never be relinquished. It caused the rhetoric in favour of the union to be a metaphor for transport. Whereas what was being said was the direction in which it was going to go, it was going to be taken. Europe was a bus, a boat, a train with a single destination, a one-way ticket, and countries, usually Britain, which were slow to recognise this, would miss the journey. The most precarious transport metaphor was that Europe was a bicycle. If it didn't keep pedalling, it would fall over. Euro bicycles, for some reason, were not supplied with brakes. So it was necessary for the EU point of view that the Maastricht Treaty, which brought the euro into being, had no provision for getting out of it. The creed must admit no doubt. William Hague, that's a foreign secretary over here at this present time, he warned of, quote, a burning building with no exits. Now that basically what he, I remember him saying that about the euro. And he said it's a catastrophe in the making. He says, but the euro believers did not see the fact that everyone was locked into a design fault. They were positively proud of it. So what we see, what Britain is looking at in the way of Europe, and what Europe is looking at, are two entirely different things. And there are no breaks on it. There are no, there's no turning back. Everything is towards greater and greater union. And it's been deliberately, you know, designed that way. Now, as I say, when we're looking at so many things that went on this past week, it is going in that direction. It's going into ever greater integration. And it is pushing the entire edifice towards that end. So when we look at prophecy and we see 10 power blocks that are going to be there at the end time, giving their power to the beast, then we're looking at these power blocks that will emerge out of this integration, albeit as iron and clay, that we see at this present time, and what in fact has been laid down as the foundation of the Europe of tomorrow. It's interesting, on Friday's paper, it says Europe's plan is madness, bank chief tells MPs. And here is something again. Britain looks at it and says, "This is insane. This is not right. This is, you know, why have they done it this way?" And yet, what I've read about this greater and greater integration explains it. It says the governor of the Bank of England has attacked Europe's baffling and bizarre approach to warding off another financial crisis. Sir Mervyn King criticised Brussels for trying to impose strict uniform regulations on all European banks. These proposals could stop Britain making its banks safer, because they would not be allowed to save more cash than their European rivals. All of them would have to keep a similar amount of cash reserves. Quote, "I'm completely baffled as to why they want to do it," unquote, he said. And he went on, he said, "I can think of no logical or economic reason why you would want to have a maximum harmonisation other than a theology of convergence for the sake of it." And that's true. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense from a practical point of view, but it is a theology of convergence for the sake of it. And that's the point. Now, as I said, what I'm looking at in this last week, and what happened with Greece, and what happened with the fact that Germany and France said no to the idea of a referendum, and said, no, we're not going to have democracy. The idea of democracy scuppering their plans is against the fundamental ethos of the European Union, which is towards greater and greater union, and they managed to go ahead and stop that. What it also has literally just come out in this, with this G20 meeting, is been described here within this paper again. Let's see, what page is it on? It's on page 4 of the Telegraph today, and it says EU accused of Athens coup after threat to end payments. So I want you to notice the wording of this, because the inference is that it could be applied on a broader scale, and if it is applied on a broader scale, you can then start to see 10 individual power blocks, the ones actually calling the shots, the ones with the power in Europe, actually determining what is going to happen for other countries as well. And this is the key regarding what's happening in Greece at the moment. It says, Prime Minister told he must make way for a unity government prepared to make cuts. The government itself is actually being dictated to by Brussels. It says the EU was accused of carrying out a coup yesterday after the head of the European Commission threatened Greece with, quote, paralysis of the country, unquote, unless MPs remove their prime minister to form an unelected, quote, national unity government, unquote. So along with the actual bailout that's going into Greece is also this insistence that the democracy that is there is taken away, and instead placed in its place is a government that is then subservient to the power blocks within the EU. And there can be, therefore, your 10 power blocks, your 10 kings that could possibly arise, which would be 10 power blocks which would then control the other governments. It goes on, it says, even after Mr. Papandreou abandoned his plan to hold a referendum on the EU IMF austerity plan, senior French, German and European officials demanded that he step down and allow for a, quote, technical, unquote, government that could implement the measures. So it's not a functioning government. It's no longer a democratic government. It is a government functioning in a democratic way. It's a government that actually is there purely to implement the measures that are then being dictated to it. So you no longer have a power block in Greece. Greece is no longer a power block. So your power blocks start to therefore coalesce. And once you've got coalesced power blocks, you could quite easily get 10 kings that would arise within Europe. It goes on, it says, Raoul Raparel of the Open Europe think tank said a new, quote, compliant, unquote, Greek government would be a victory for the EU elite. Nigel Farage, the leader of the UK Independence Party, accused David Cameron of giving tacit agreement to the overthrow of European democracies by supporting closer fiscal union in the Eurozone and the EU. Cameron is actively encouraging the countries of Southern Europe to sleepwalk into slow-motion, sugar-coated coup d'etat, he said. Le Soir newspaper in Belgium described Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy as pushists at the head of Europe. There's your power block. So I thought that that was an interesting aspect to bring out within the news analysis, to be able to see something that really we've been expecting for years. And if we could just turn back with, if you would, to Daniel and just remind ourselves a little bit as to what it says here in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, it says in verse 34, "You saw till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet." Now, it was just read in Revelation regarding how, in fact, the 10 kings that will receive a power with the beast right at the very end time will make war with the returning Christ. And here in verse 34, the stone, the government of God, the kingdom of God, cut out without hands, which smites the image on its feet that was of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Now, the interpretation of that, if you notice in verse 41, it says, "And whereas you saw the feet and toes," and you've got 10 toes, and just the same as 10 kings, "part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay." And we certainly see a mixture within Europe that's not sticking together. "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron," and notice, I want you to notice how the attention is drawn to these 10 toes. The toes are part of iron and part of clay. "So shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not stick one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings..." So here again, 10 toes, the toes being highlighted in verse 42, and it talks about in the days of these kings, ties it back with what we've read in Revelation 17, "Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left for other people." So we see a possibility, and as I say, it's only a possibility, as to how these power blocks, these 10 power blocks, these 10 kings, could arise in Europe by the other governments being, if you like, manipulated. They become puppet governments. And yet the power blocks that control these puppet governments, there's the real source of power. That's the real seat of power. And I say, I'm not saying that that is definitely the way it's going to go, but as of the news this morning, it certainly looks to be pointed in that direction. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people." No other power block is going to take it over. "But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever."